Sports talk while you're on the clock. Cap and Company.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000. Shot!
O'clock in Chicago. Another hour of Cap and Company. Then we hand it off to Carmen and Yurko. And then Waddle and Sylvie at 2 o'clock. 312-332-3776. Harrison on Twitter said, guys, everything possible went wrong for the Bears last year. First place schedule, no production in the offense. They still went 8-8. Got to imagine they could do better than that this year. Brad says, preach, Cap, bear the F down, 11-5. He also tags it with a hashtag, Abdallah hates the Bears. 312-332-3776. So it's a massive, massive week for sports. The NBA, I'm hearing from very reliable sources, that's a done deal. They're going to play in Orlando at the Wide World of Sports at Disney World. They can be locked down there, they can control the environment, and they have contracted with a testing company to provide tests. Hockey, we should have more clarity when Gary Bettman speaks this afternoon, but it looks like we're going to get a 24-team tournament, and the Blackhawks would be part of that. Brian Windhorst reporting today, by the way, in the NBA, that according to the Players Association executive director, overwhelming sentiment is players really want to play and they want to get back on the court. So you'll have those two sports, it looks like, back. And then baseball, we should know by the end of the week so that they can end up getting a three-week spring training in the month of June and start playing July 4th weekend, which I think would be awesome. Absolutely spectacular. But how important is it to you out there? Everybody's dealing with the stay-at-home order. We don't even have outdoor dining back in the city of Chicago yet. I don't know if you, Danny, I know you were off social media, but the governor said we can move to outdoor dining if it's done with social distancing and masked waiters and waitresses. And the mayor came out and said, yeah, we're not ready in the city of Chicago for that. And so they're not going to be opening this Friday when the rest of the state is, or a good portion of the state. So that surprise you?
Does which part surprise me?
That the governor said we can do it, but the mayor put the clamps on. But
the governor is looking over the whole state. So there's areas of the state that are in less trouble than the city of Chicago. So I understand that. The city of Chicago, Mayor Lightfoot has to operate at a different level because there are so many more cases and there's so many more people in the city. So, I mean, I have no problem with that, with her taking a little bit more time. I wasn't really surprised by that.
Yeah, I'm not criticizing her at all. You know what? She has got the weight of the world on her shoulders, and she has really done some amazing things. I love that she got in her car and was driving around telling them, hey, your jump shot's not that good. Get off the court. You guys are not socially. I like this lady. I do. And I'm not talking about my politics. I don't live in the city, so I don't get to vote in that election. I don't talk politics. But I just think, you know, hey, if she doesn't think we're ready in Chicago, then figure out what we have to do to get ready and get the economy back. But absolutely, get it ready.
I just think it's nice that when you hear the governor talk and you look around, like New Jersey, the governor there just said that all practice facilities for sporting events are free to open up and let their players back in. It seems as if, you know, the 2 months has gone by relatively fast. I remember picking up my kids from school March 13th, and that was the last time they walked into school. Fast forward, we're at May 26th. The 2+ months has gone by rather fast, and I feel like, and I'm hopeful, fingers crossed, that we're now at the end. The light's at the, we can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Sports is coming back. Things are opening up. We are allowed to get a haircut soon. We're going to have outdoor eating. Perhaps, you know, summer camps are going to be able to have for your kids in July. Schools will maybe be opening in fall. So I'm hoping and I'm praying that we've made it through the worst, and now we're coming out at the other end.
Just need to have no second spike. That's, you know, everybody's concerned about. 312-332-3776. So we'll keep you posted, and as soon as something breaks with the announcements from the respective leagues, we'll cover it here on the radio station. Also, I teased this in the first hour. Sam Smith was on 95.7, I think it is, or I can't read it. It's too small. I think it's 95.7, the game in San Francisco. And the question was asked, was there anything not truthful in the documentary The Last Dance? Here's Sam Smith, the veteran NBA reporter from Chicago.
You know, there were several things in the documentary I saw, I would know, that he made up or he lied about. You know, they weren't major things, but it was like, it's like when a TV movie comes on and they say, this is based on a true story. That's what that was. It was based on a true story. They had all the outlines of what happened, but a lot of the detail, like the, you know, like the pizza thing, the poison, that was complete nonsense. and there were a couple other things like that. I won't go into them, but it weren't major. But the thing at the end was a complete blatant lie.
Sam has also said Michael was never coming back after the 98 season. He said that's just a complete 100% lie. There was zero chance that he was coming back, and he had made that clear. And he didn't come back for three more years. So there's a lot of different things Michael says that you wonder about. I'm never playing for anyone but Phil Jackson. Oh, wait a minute. I can play for Doug Collins. I'll go to Washington. So that one didn't last. He had told many, I'm not coming back after the 98 season. Oh, wait a minute. The Wizards offered me a lot of money. I'm coming back there. So there's a number of things. And then he said he had nothing to do with Isaiah Thomas being left off the Dream Team until Jack McCallum released this over the weekend.
So when I went to interview Jordan for the Dream Team book in 2011, I wondered how I would nudge the conversation over to Isaiah Thomas. But against all odds, Jordan went there himself, suddenly and without warning.
And when they called me to ask me to book, Rodson called me and said, Rod, I won't play with Isaiah Thomas on the team. He assured me, he said, you know what? Chuck that one, Isaiah. So Isaiah's not going to be a part of the team.
If you didn't hear, he said, I don't want to play if Isaiah Thomas is on the team.
Does that change your guys' perspectives at all about any of the stuff in The Last Dance when, you know, you hear these different stories where people that were around said there was zero chance Michael was coming back after 98? Zero. And for him to sit there on the documentary and say he was going to come back, that's just not true. And then to say, I had nothing to do with Isaiah being left off the team until you hear that audio released. Does that change your perspective at all?
Not at all.
Why?
Listen, I don't care what Michael
says.
You
were mad at Horace for his texting habits.
Listen, I'm still mad at Horace. Horace made great news on this show. No offense to Horace. He's just as guilty of what he's pointing fingers at Michael. He was dishonest to me. Oh, he did that whole interview on The Last Dance, had no problem with it. Then all of a sudden The Last Dance comes out. Maybe his star wasn't shining bright enough in The Last Dance, or he didn't like the way he was portrayed, or because he's best friends with Scottie Pippen, he was taking up for him. But Horace wanted to get a little chip on his shoulder about it. I'm glad Horace came out and said something, but that doesn't mean he's right. It's just his opinion. Same thing with this Isaiah Thomas thing. I don't care what Michael Jordan says about playing with Isaiah or not playing with Isaiah. Mm-hmm. Isaiah was a piece of bleep when it came to a lot of guys in the NBA. A lot of guys in the NBA did not like Isaiah. He was a competitor. He played hard. He was ruthless. But they didn't want to be on his team, and they didn't want to spend the summer with him in Spain. So I don't care if Michael admits that or not. People did not want to play with him. Isaiah should take ownership. Maybe treat people a little kinder. Maybe you should have been a different person to a lot of these guys, and you would have been invited into that fraternity. You didn't go that route. So I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah, look, I would rather he had just come out in the documentary and said, yeah, I had no interest in hanging out and playing if Isaiah was going to be there. I don't like the guy, and that's that. Instead of saying, I never said that. Oh, wait a minute. I got some audio here. Yeah, you did.
At the end of that tape we just heard, and it was hard to hear, didn't they also say Charles didn't want to play with Isaiah?
Chuck, yeah.
Chuck said that. He never said that. So now are we also going to...
Oh, I didn't hear... When did Chuck... I didn't hear
Chuck
that.
On Waddle and Sylvie said he had no problem with Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, I didn't hear... Let me play this one more time. This is Jack McCallum, veteran NBA writer, Sports Illustrated, long time, and had great respect from the players, and that's how he would get to talk to these guys. And he wrote a book on the Dream Team in 2011, and here's part of his interview with MJ.
So when I went to interview Jordan for the Dream Team book in 2011, I wondered how I would nudge the conversation over to Isaiah Thomas. But against all odds, Jordan went there himself, suddenly and without warning.
And when they called me to ask me to book, Rodson called me and said, "Rod, I won't play with Isaiah Thomas on the team." He assured me, he said, "You know what? Chuck doesn't want Isaiah, so Isaiah's not going to be a part of the team."
If you didn't hear, he said, "I don't want to play if Isaiah Thomas is on the team."
But didn't he say Chuck didn't want Isaiah?
Yeah, it's hard to hear, but I think he said,
"Yeah, Chuck."
That's fine because Chuck doesn't want him on the team.
So they're blaming Chuck. So it isn't Michael. It's Chuck. Charles Barkley's the reason that Isaiah wasn't on the team.
Well, no,
according to that,
no,
Chuck didn't want him.
But it's both of them.
He said Chuck. Chuck was first,
and Michael. So.
See, guys, I think here's the solution. This is what we need to use going forward. All these players complaining after the fact, they could have easily not been a part of the documentary, but they were, and now they have an issue with it. Here's the idea. Ready? This is the idea. You, whoever you are, ex-player, go back in time and become the greatest player in the history of the sport, and you make the documentary.
It's a good point.
You make the documentary. If Horace Grant has a problem... You make a documentary. If Scottie Pippen has a problem, you go make a Isaiah, go make a documentary. Because nobody cares. People care about what Jordan says because he's the greatest of all time. So that's it. Go make your own documentary if you have such a stink with it.
By the way, Chris, Danny A on Twitter makes a good point. They may not be talking about Charles Barkley. Chuck Daly might not have wanted him on the team.
Yeah, well, isn't that one. A bigger story if
the
Isaiah Thomas's head coach who won two championships with him doesn't want him on the team? Listen, I'm not trying to say anything bad about Isaiah, but I'm going to say something bad about Isaiah. He wasn't a dude anyone wanted to be around. Whether it's Charles Barkley, Michael Jordan, or Chuck Daly, they didn't want to backpack through Europe that summer with Isaiah Thomas. He's the guy you invited to the party because you had to, but you didn't want to spend time with.
So yeah, is he like Stifler?
Remember? No, Stifler was cool.
Stifler was friends with everyone.
Stifler was cool.
Have you seen American Pie?
I've seen them all. I watched American...
But Stifler was like... Cool.
Listen,
they liked him.
Clearly you're trying too hard quoting Stifler.
What's his name's wedding?
He was fun.
Clearly you're trying too hard if you're reaching for a Stifler reference out of nowhere.
Maybe... Is Cap the Isaiah of the group
here? Oh, my God.
We watched that movie. My wife and I watched some of that movie over the weekend.
Clearly, that's why it just came up now.
Yeah, 100%. 312.
You were going to tell us about the movie. Go ahead.
It's just I like that movie. It's good. I like movies.
Be honest. Was that the first time you've seen that movie?
No.
Be honest.
No.
Don't lie.
I was going to say ask my wife. I've seen that movie a billion times.
Ask your wife. Mindy, does Cap have a full head of hair? Yes, Danny. His head is full of hair. Whatever he tells you.
Did Cap play in the NBA for 20 years?
Yes, Danny.
Whatever he says. No. I've seen that movie a billion times. But... We watched some of it over the weekend, and when you said he was the guy that nobody really wanted there, they didn't want Stifler at the wedding. So
whether it be Charles Barkley, Chuck Daly, or Michael Jordan, it's simple. Here's the conclusion.
They didn't want
Isaiah
around.
Was a dope, and no one wanted to be with him.
All right, fast timeout, 312-332-3776. We'll be right back.
Miss some Cap and Company? Your podcast is ready. Chicago's home for sports is on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Welcome back, ESPN 1000 with Danny and Chris. I'm David Kaplan. Daniel.
You want a little good news on this beautiful Tuesday?
Bring it on.
Charles Robinson, senior NFL writer from Yahoo, tweets out, sources, NFL head coaches could return to team facilities as early as next week, with full squad minicamps potentially on the docket for mid to late June.
Read that again.
Sources from Charles Robinson, NFL senior writer at Yahoo.
Yeah, he's a great dude. He lives here in Chicago.
Correct. NFL head coaches could return to team facilities as early as next week, with full squad minicamps potentially on the docket for mid to late June.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Football season could start on time.
And the competition between Mitch and Nick Foles can then get underway.
Yeah, it's funny how that works. On May 15th, Waddle and Sylvie had Matt Nagy on, and he talked about how he was upset with the way that the starters didn't play in the preseason. And then I saw all of a sudden this weekend that took off. They were talking about it on the NFL Network. They were talking about it on First Take, how Matt Nagy wants more competition from his quarterbacks.
Yeah, he's going to play. And that means if you're playing your quarterbacks, you're playing your O-linemen and your receivers. I mean, how are you going to judge if you go, yeah, Mitch, you get in there with the first team offense, and then, hey, Nick, you get it, or vice versa, but we got all the backups in there.
Well, the O-line should play. The O-line have to prove something.
No question.
Danny, you know what that was, right? That was the old content double back because there was nothing cooking this weekend. So the producers of First Take were like, oh, what did we miss over the course of the last week and a half? Oh, we've got a Trubisky topic. Let's throw this up on the screen. It was the content double back because that happened 2 weeks ago. We talked about it the following Monday.
Yeah, no question about it.
Matt Nagy was on with Waddle and Sylvie on a Friday.
He was.
That Monday, we talked about it for a couple days. And now, a week later, national media outlets are going back to find content.
Yeah,
so there it is.
I think it was Sylvie and Jesse that
day. Yeah, it was Jesse.
It?
Yeah.
Yep. Jesse hurt himself patting himself on the back for that interview.
Yeah, Jesse tore his rotator cuff. Yep.
Still got my fastball, kid.
Cap, you should have seen Jesse on Thursday. Well, you did not see him, but heard from him during the show. He had his own soundboard that he was playing his own sound effects from.
What?
During the show. Yes. On Thursday.
He is out of his mind.
It was pretty funny. It was good.
Anyway, a couple of interesting sports anniversaries today. Do you remember the Larry Bird steal in the 87 playoffs?
Yeah, steal by Bird.
Yeah. Was that Johnny Most on the call, the late Johnny Most? That guy was amazing. Anyway, that was today. And many, many years ago on today's date, Carlos Martinez hit a long fly to right field, and it hit Jose Canseco in the top of the head and deflected over the wall for a home run. Yeah, pretty funny. I'll remember. That one's just like indelibly burned in my head. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Bob's in Canaryville. Roberto, what's up, Sparky?
What's up? Getting back to the thing about Isaiah Thomas, I always hated Isaiah Thomas for what he did, but he was one of the 12 best players in the NBA. He deserved, as much as I hate him, he deserved to be on that team. And as far as I'm not liking them, they picked Christian Laettner.
They had
he was
to.
One of,
they had
it, well, they didn't have to pick. He was one of the most hated players in the NBA, or excuse me, in NCAA history. But then, I mean, they put Magic on there as a courtesy.
Yeah, well,
as a courtesy.
Well, look, they had to take one amateur, and he was the amateur who had accomplished the most. The best player was Shaquille O'Neal, but he had not accomplished all in college that Christian had, so they had to take him.
But even still, he was one of, as much as you don't like him, he was one of the 12 best players at that time. He was. I begrudgingly say it. They, you know, it was really crappy that they didn't, that Jordan didn't want him on the team. It was just because you didn't like him.
Correct. But if you want Michael, apparently Larry Bird and Magic, those three were vocal that they did not want to play with Isaiah. So are you taking Isaiah and saying, yeah, no, sorry. I mean, what are you going to do? If you take Isaiah and lose the other three, no chance that was going to happen.
Well, then don't take them, and you still beat the rest of the teams they beat by N20 instead of 40.
Yeah, they wanted Michael, you know, I mean, they wanted Larry, and they wanted Magic.
Well, no, I know, but I mean, Isaiah deserved to be on that team, and I couldn't stand him. I hate him. But he deserved to be on that team.
He's a great talent. I'll give you that.
All right.
Thanks, man.
Take care, Cap.
Have a good day. See you, kid. 312-332-3776. So maybe that audio, Danny, was Chuck Daly.
Well, it doesn't matter if it's Charles Barkley, Chuck Daly, Chucky from the movies. The fact is that people of significance on that Dream Team were not interested in Isaiah Thomas being a part of it.
Yeah.
And instead of us all trying to point fingers at Michael or Chuck Daly or Charles Barkley, maybe the finger should just be pointed at Isaiah. Sorry, dude. They didn't want to be around you.
Yeah.
They play a regular season that lasts 8 to 9 months. Then they've all decided to be Patriots and go play for their country, and they just don't want to hang out with you. You're not a good dude. They don't want to be on planes with you and buses with you and practices with you and playing cards with you. They just don't like you. And like to the caller saying he belonged on the team because he was one of the 12 best. It wasn't about being one of the 12 best. There's something with chemistry. And Isaiah Thomas didn't have the chemistry. And Sylvie, when Waddle and Sylvie interviewed Isaiah, Sylvie made the best point. You want to represent this country in the Olympics, which is all about teamwork and hope and camaraderie, when you didn't have the decency to shake hands after you lost that year in the playoffs? No, don't represent our country. You're not a good representation of what we stand for. The hell with Isaiah. This topic needs to stop. Who cares if Michael wanted him or didn't want him? He wasn't on the team. He wasn't deserving. It's enough of the Isaiah Thomas, oh, pity me. I'm sorry.
And I don't disagree with anything you're saying there. I just think it's news when they find audio where he just in the last day, I didn't say I didn't want to play with him. Yeah, you kind of did. No, actually, you exactly did.
But, I mean, sometimes you misremember facts. You've done that. Everyone's done that. You misremember stories.
No doubt.
I mean, it's 1991. Michael Jordan's telling the story in 2020. He's got so much going on in his life. You expect him to remember every detail?
Nope.
All right, so he misspoke.
Yeah, maybe Horace mistexted.
Listen, the whole Horace Grant thing. Like, these guys, Horace Grant and Bill Cartwright, they're on their high horse now that this came out and they have a problem with Michael. Maybe they didn't like how they were portrayed. Maybe they wanted more shine. Maybe they felt like they were more of a part of the team than the documentary portrayed them. Like, Ron Harper coming out and saying bad things. The only time Ron Harper was in the documentary was to say that he told Lenny Wilkins that he would cover Michael instead of Elo. And then Mark Price and Elo and everybody came out and said,
I don't remember that.
That's not true. So Ron Harper comes out looking like a liar, and he wasn't. But listen, he was the starting guard on three of those championship teams. He had no part of the story. The backup to him, Steve Kerr, had a bigger chunk than he did. So you understand why he has sour grapes. Craig Hodges, no offense, he was part of two championship teams. Nobody cares his opinion. He's got sour grapes. Horace Grant had a handshake deal with Jerry Reinsdorf to remain a Bull. He pulled that back and he left. Why aren't we bashing him for being a bad person? Why? That's bad business. You have a handshake deal and you don't keep your word. But now all of a sudden, Horace Grant wants to say, oh, Michael Jordan's a bad guy. Look how he portrayed Scotty. And he said, he'd take my food. I would never let that happen. Come on. It's just sour grapes. It's sour grapes. It's what it is. It's sour grapes.
Yeah, I just think a lot
they
of guys...
They all wanted the documentary to be Michael saying, I would not have been the greatest ever if it wasn't for Horace. I would not have been the greatest ever if it wasn't for Scotty. We would have never had six championships if those guys weren't right by my side. I could never be me if it wasn't for them. That's what they were all looking for.
Yeah, the one thing I would tell you, Horace wanted to set the record straight on the food thing, on being the snitch to Sam Smith, like all of that. And I understand why. You know, like Chris and I were having this discussion the other day on Wednesday. These guys did not know when they were doing their interviews what Michael had said. They did not. Like I was told by somebody, one of those four guys, we had no idea when they sat down and talked to us what MJ had said.
But Horace was quoted in the 1.8 seconds. Horace was quoted in the migraine. Horace was quoted in all the negative stuff he had a problem with. He knew he was asked about that, so he knew that could have been part of the documentary. You know what I mean? It's like, it's easy to say, oh, I can't believe they aired that. You sat and did an interview where you were asked about it, so you knew it was coming. The only person that could be blindsided is Scotty because he wasn't in on everybody's interviews. But Scotty was asked about the same stuff.
Yeah, they just the biggest thing that Scotty's upset about is that all this negative stuff was portrayed against him.
But like Bill Cartwright was on our show and he said nothing negative, nothing whatsoever. Then it all ends and he sees the wave of his former teams being upset and he jumps on and rides that wave.
Well, maybe it's convenient. Until he saw the whole documentary, he didn't want to be negative. I don't know. All right, let's take a quick timeout. We'll come back. Don't forget Carmen and Yurko at noon. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. It's Cap and Company. It's ESPN.
It's Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. And ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Welcome back, ESPN 1000 with Danny and Chris. I'm David Kaplan, Carmen Yurk at noon, Waddle and Sylvie at 2 o'clock. And if you missed it, I said earlier, we did a neighborhood drive-by of Sylvie's house the other day, and he came out. He looks good, man. He looks like I know he had a rough day Saturday, first day after chemo. And I'm sure he'll talk about it on his show today, but he looked good. His color was good. He was fired up. He was out there with the kids. It was good to see him, man. It really, really was. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. John's in Orlando. Hey, John, what's going on, Sparkles?
Hey, Cappy, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Doing good. I had a quick story for you. From the summer of 98, I was a student at Indiana University. So a lot of my friends and I stayed down in the summer. We worked at the bars down there. A lot of the students go home. So We're Chicagoland guys, the only Bulls fans, surrounded by Pacers fans. Bulls are going through that battle with the Pacers.
And where is now, this at?
This is Indiana University in Bloomington.
Oh, at it's IU. Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So... Dale was doing the colors for that series, if I recall.
He was.
So he came down to Bloomington one night to hit his old haunt, ran into him at a bar that my buddy worked at, probably five people in the bar total. Walked up to him, nice guy, was personable, talked to us. I told him, I said, hey, us Chicago fans, we're a little nervous down here. Pacers are kind of sticking it to us. We're worried about the outcome of this. And he looks at me and he says, dude, nobody's beaten Michael. And I said, yeah, but with Miller, and he goes, brother, nobody is beating Michael. I said, all right, man, have a good night. Thanks.
Yeah, I've interacted with Isaiah, and I've always found him to be charming and nice. He just has, apparently, you know, this side of him that got on the wrong side of Larry and Magic and obviously MJ, among others. And unfortunately, he's going to take that with him the rest of his life, where he is just not well-liked by a lot of people in the game. It's too bad.
He still called Michael for the win, though, so apparently he didn't have too much grudge against him.
Yeah, you got to be honest, though. You know, it doesn't mean you're going to hang out with him. I appreciate the call. You know what question I would love? Didn't Isaiah say in the documentary, or maybe he was with Waddle and Sylvie, Danny, when did Isaiah say that Michael gave him a jersey for his kid and they had dinner together?
That was like something that happened recently, since retirement.
Did he say it on Waddle and Sylvie?
I don't know if he said it on Waddle and Sylvie or on the...
I can't believe they went to dinner together. Like, if you told me they went to dinner and there were 80 people there, okay, that's different. Like, just Michael and Isaiah had
dinner.
Well,
he didn't say that. He didn't say it was just us. He said we had dinner together. We've both been at dinners with people we don't care for.
Yeah, I'd just like to know more about it. I would. I'd love to know how many people were at that dinner, Isaiah. Hey, Michael, did that really happen? I just find it strange.
I don't want to hear any more about this story ever. I want Isaiah to go away.
Probably never going to happen, kid.
No. Big news, Cap. Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL.
Hold on, play your little sounder thing.
I don't want to. It's not like that kind of big break.
This is breaking news on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Nice.
Today can only be getting better. National Hockey League Commissioner Gary Bettman is going to make an announcement today at 3:30 p.m. Central regarding the return to play plan for 2019-2020 NHL season.
Thank you. There we go. Blackhawks are back. They're alive. What are they, 250 to 1?
250 to 1.
Should we throw a little money on it?
Yeah, why not? They have a shot, don't they? I mean, all these teams have been sitting doing nothing for 2.5 months.
Right.
They still do have three Hall of Famers on that team. Corey Crawford could be the Corey Crawford that stood on his head in the Stanley Cup run.
I mean, can you imagine if they just got red hot and all of a sudden you go, wait a minute, we're covering the Stanley Cup final?
Do they have to rehire John McDonough? Wasn't part of firing him because he said that they would make the playoffs?
Yeah, I'd love to know more about that story. But
he said they'd make the playoffs. They clearly weren't going to make the playoffs, but now guess what? They made the playoffs. So
yep,
he wasn't wrong.
He was not wrong. They're in. 24-team tournament. First round looks like it's going to be Chicago Blackhawks and the Edmonton Oilers.
That's only one game, right?
And no, then the five game.
Oh, it's a five-gamer?
Five-gamer.
And then it goes on to seven-game series.
Right.
I mean, if this works out, could they implement this going forward? It's so much more exciting.
Yeah, I don't think so. You're talking about too much money at stake when you play. You know, you got to win 16 to be the champ.
But there's so many more teams in the playoffs.
You do.
That's a benefit to so many more teams.
You got eight more teams that are getting in. And now you have the Blackhawks, and you've got to deal with Draisaitl.
And you got that Draisaitl, it itches.
Draisaitl's a great player. Oh. And then you got to deal with Connor McDavid. I mean, you got a hell of a team in Edmonton in terms of firepower.
And all the original six teams would be in, I believe.
Oh, all six?
I think so, which is a huge deal for the NHL.
Especially if you can get a couple of the original six to get far in the tourney. I can't wait, man. Cannot wait to go. Hey, we got hockey tonight.
You know what's going to be crazy? We had, you know, 2.5, 3 months of no sports.
Yep.
And then let's say baseball starts, NHL starts, NBA playoffs start. We're going to get hit in the head with all the sports at once.
What are you
that
watching?
Matter.
I don't know. There's so much on.
Yep.
Right.
100%. It's going to be great.
I completely agree. Completely agree.
Positive. We're going to be Tuesday. So excited to watch the baseball. Oh, wait. Is baseball going to participate, or are they still haggling over money?
They're haggling, Chris.
Oh, okay, all right. But yes, everyone else, jump into the pool. We will have so much sports, and then when baseball finally figures it out, we will add them to the pile.
Yeah, the one thing I would tell you, I truly believe that baseball is deep in negotiation, and that's why you're not hearing any rhetoric.
We hope.
So get it done.
Listen, Cap, if we have playoffs in the NHL, the NBA, college football starting up and the NFL starting up, all colliding in September, nobody is going to be paying attention to regular season baseball games. That's just the fact of the matter is if we have two sports in their playoffs and football starts, no one's going to be worried about game 22 of the 82 game season in baseball. That's just how it's going to happen.
That's why.
You got to get going.
Got to get going. July 4th weekend. Can you imagine all the fireworks and the pageantry? It'll be empty stadiums, of course, but we'll be playing. Playing meaningful games.
I'm with Chris. You know, when Bryce Harper was available and Manny Machado, nobody wanted Bryce Harper on the north side more than I did. After reading that Bryce Harper supported Blake Snell's idiotic comments, I thought to myself, not only would I never be able to cheer for him again, I would not let my kids wear his jersey, his uniform. I mean, he looked like the dude signed a $330 million contract, $330 million contract, and he's supporting Blake Snell. Of all the guys, like if you were his representatives, you would just say to him, hey, Bryce, maybe just keep your mouth shut.
That's why no one's talking anymore. I'm telling you, Tony Clark and the lead players that they have there, the player reps, are all calling guys on their own team going, okay, just so you hear it from me, shut your effing mouth. Don't post anything. Don't do any interviews. Just stay quiet.
Isn't Harper a Boris guy?
Harper is a Boris.
Do you think Boris put him up to that? I mean, here's a guy that's making the most money in the league.
I'd be guessing. I don't know.
He's got a big voice. Scott calls him, hey, do me a favor, Bryce. I need you to add some weight to the player side here.
Yeah, and then did you read? Well, after we take quick time out, Tom Glavin's comments I thought were spot on. Spot on. We'll take quick time out. We'll come right back.
You're listening to Cap and Company. See what Sparkles is up to on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today. Cap and Company.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Hey, this hour brought to you by Weed Man. Don't let mosquitoes take a bite out of your summer. Go to weedmanusa.com today. 312-332-3776. So Tom Glavin, who was a hawk in 1994 about the strike, sat down with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and said players should be prepared to take a lot of blame if the season does not start. If it were to come down to an economic issue, and that's the reason baseball didn't come back, you're looking at a situation similar to the strike of 94-95 as far as fans are concerned. Even if the players were 100% justified in what they were complaining about, they're still going to look bad. A proposed 50-50 revenue split, even after the players already agreed to take a pay cut, is a scary proposition to the MLB Players Association, Glavin said, adding players should refrain from talking about it on social media or anywhere else. He compared it with the interviews he gave during the 1994-95 players' strike. The accessibility thing was a miscalculation on my part, Glavin said. I just felt like if I did an interview on radio or TV, if I had 5 or 10 minutes, I could make somebody understand what was going on and come to our side. That just wasn't going to happen. And then you had the Blake Snell comments, and Glavin said, I understand the concerns of the players. I understand that a big part for all of us is getting back to our normal and to have sports back. But you can't dismiss a player's concern for his health or his family's health any more than you would dismiss your own. But if the players can't get a deal done financially, they are going to look bad and they are going to take the brunt of the criticism. So that's from Tom Glavin. Interesting stuff. They got to get this deal done. They got to figure this out. And I think you're going to hear something this week. I'll be shocked if we don't have baseball back here shortly. You got Gary Bettman going to make an announcement that they're returning to play. You've got the NBA deal, I'm being told, is already done. And now New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy, according to Schefter, has announced effective today, all professional sports teams in the state of New Jersey can open training camps while following necessary health protocols. So it's going to happen. We're getting baseball back. We're getting hockey back. We're getting basketball back. Football is going to start having mini camps. They're going to figure this all out. They are. Now, we may not have fans in the stands, but everything else is going to happen. It just is. And it's great for all of us who just, we make our living on sports. We love sports. You come home from your job and you're like, oh, what game is on tonight? And you haven't had it for 3 months. Looks like you're going to get that back. So, I'm excited. Do you think the NBA plan, Chris, when they eventually announce it, will have all the teams back, or will they go to something like what hockey's doing? And if they do that, then that is the end of the Chicago Bulls for 2020.
Well, if they go to something like hockey, then the Bulls might be involved. Because I think if you go through the 24 best teams, I think the Bulls are right there at like 24, aren't they?
I'd have to look. It's going to be close.
So I don't know if it's a yes, no on your question, but I do think it will not include all of the teams.
I can just tell you this. I do not see any scenario where Jim Boylan's coaching the Chicago Bulls after this season. None.
Yeah, but they need someone to coach whatever games take place
Correct.
This summer.
He'll coach this return to play if that happened and included the Bulls. But I'm telling you, after this season ends, there's zero chance Arturas is bringing him back as his coach.
Yeah, I don't know why people think that that would be a possibility.
It's not.
That's crazy. So to answer the question, I don't think the entire league will come back, but I don't think also that it will only be 16 teams. I think they will have some kind of a play-in situation mm-hmm. where a few teams try and get that 7 and 8 spot to make it fair for the Western Conference and to give a shot to put Zion Williamson on TV and Damian Lillard on TV.
Lillard said this morning that he's not playing if the Blazers don't have a shot at the playoffs.
Yeah, he said to Yahoo Sports that if they are just playing out games in the regular season to meet the RSN requirements.
That's Regional Sports Network.
He's not playing. But if it is to get into a playoff or to be a part of a play-in, then he would play. But he's not interested in just being there playing games that don't mean anything.
Right. He said he didn't want to put himself at risk if there wasn't, like, if we're playing for something, I'm a teammate, I'll play. And I think that's a fair way to look at it, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's like I would assume it's your job, and if the organization's taking part, you should probably play.
Yeah, look, you and I and Danny and Carm, Merkins, we made the decision when this all started. We were going to come down here. We don't come within 6 feet of each other. I'm in one room now, and you're in another room. We wipe down the studios before we start. Carm will wipe it down before he starts, after I get out of here. But we made the decision. This is how we feed our family, man. We got to work. If Damian Lillard feels like, hey, man, I've made $100 million. Danny, play the game. How much money has Damian Lillard made in his career already? Like, if you're a rookie who was an undrafted free agent, like if you're Kendrick Nunn.
I would guess Dame's at like 120 already.
I'm going to say Dame's at 130.
All right, gentlemen, we've got a 120. We've got a 130. Carm, would you like to play?
What is he, 7 years in?
2012 was his rookie season.
So that's 8 years? 9 years?
I'll tell you this.
I'm going to say 160.
You're all way high, $92 million.
Okay. Well, if he feels like, hey, man, I made $92 million, and unless we're playing for the playoff, I'm tapping out, God bless him if he feels he can do that. Kendrick Nunn wants to do that. He can't. He was an undrafted rookie. He's a rookie.
Well, yeah, I also think the NBA knows they want guys like Damian Lillard on the TV set. Same with Zion Williamson, because the Pelicans and the Blazers are the two first teams out in the Western mm-hmm. Conference. People would want to watch those two teams. And, you know, I mean, look at the way that the Pelicans played when Zion was healthy this year.
They got better.
They got better, and they were playing really good basketball.
They
like,
were.
You want to talk about a cool story? What if you get Zion Williamson and the Pelicans going against LeBron James and the Lakers in the first round?
Oh,
people would love that, right?
They'd love it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the league will not have all of the teams back, but I could see them figuring out a way to get some of the teams that are not in the playoffs still involved.
I'm looking up right now to see where the Bulls would be in the league standings if they just took the 24 best teams.
I think I counted the other day. They're either like 23 or 24.
Too bad we're out of time.
Chicago is 24. They are 24.
Yeah, so.
They're a half game up on, or game up on the Knicks, and they are one game behind the Hornets.
We're out of time today, but it would be interesting, and maybe we can do it tomorrow to do a poll. Would you even want to watch the Bulls return to play this year?
We can do that tomorrow.
Because I would not. I want to see sports, but I don't care to watch another Bulls game.
Yeah, let's talk some NBA tomorrow, okay? We'll talk about that. We could talk about Jim Boylan, and we'll see what we get out of Gary Bettman today, and maybe we get more baseball news. So, anyway, we've got to take a quick time out, and then we're going to crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko. You're listening to Chicago's Home for Sports, back in 2 minutes on ESPN 1000.